and I won't complain. Hallelujah. Amen. We do thank the good Lord for all of his many blessings. Amen.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Glory,
hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. That's all.
Glory, hallelujah. Yes, thank
you, Lord.
Thank you. Amen. Amen. We thank Sister Adams for blessing us. Amen. We give the good Lord praise, and we're in the midst of a great celebration.
Oh, yes, we are.
Amen.
Yes, yes.
I like to thank God for all those things you couldn't buy it with money. Amen.
Yes,
that he continues to bless us with. Amen. So many things to be thankful for. Amen. And we have a tendency sometimes to take things for granted. But God is able.
Yes, he is.
And while we're worrying about how it's going to work out, he's got it already figured out.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's waiting on us to quit complaining. Just trust me, I got this.
Amen.
It looked like a problem to you, but I knew about it before the foundation of the world.
Yes,
that's the kind of God we serve. Amen. He knows what you need. Even before you ask.
Yes, he does.
So sometimes you should just say, I just say thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank
just thank him for what he already did.
Jesus.
Yes. Amen. He understands what we're going through.
Yes.
And he knows where we're headed.
Yes. Amen. Yes, he does.
So we thank him all along the way.
Yes.
Amen.
My Lord.
Amen. This is kind of a special period in our sojourning here, and we're able today to say we have, for those of you who may not have been here, may not be aware, we completed the book of Romans on a couple of Sundays ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so today we are endeavoring to do some topical studies. We started on one on last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I find these to be interesting because with the topical studies, we can take up topics that the church needs to know about on certain things. And just last week, we looked at a subject of spiritual confidence.
Spiritual confidence.
And I just wanted to say that in case you happen not to have been here.
Yes.
And this is a serial message today, and we're going to be looking at spiritual discipline.
All right.
It's actually a set of three. Spiritual confidence.
Yes.
Is that thing, that's what we call, and this is a phrase I gave to talk about it, is the internal encouragement of the word of truth. In other words, when you are filled with the word of God, you have the knowledge of God to depend on.
That's right. Amen.
And that gives you confidence in whatever situation you're going through.
Yes.
So you can always thank God for that. His word, the things that he has said, his promises he is able to keep.
Yes. Amen.
The Bible says none of his promises will fail. Everything he promised will come to pass.
Yes, it will.
Amen. We have enough history. We can just look at the history that we know about in the little bit of time we've been on earth, and we can see God hasn't lost a stroke. Everything he promised has come to pass flawlessly and perfectly.
Yes.
Amen. So that is the internal encouragement of the word of truth. So today we want to talk about spiritual discipline, which is the prayerful application of the internal encouragement of the word of truth. Okay? This is the prayerful application of the internal encouragement of the word of truth. See how you can add another layer to that whole thing? So we're talking about spiritual discipline.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Now, when the word discipline, when you see that, something should jump right off the page at you, and that is the word disciple.
Yes.
Disciple, yeah.
See?
Amen.
Disciple, discipline.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
So how do you and I, as disciples of Christ, that's all Christ ever asked you to do.
Right.
He didn't say, come in and be a rocket scientist and I'll save you. You know, come in and be a brain surgeon and I can save you. No.
Mm-hmm.
He said, just be a disciple.
That's it.
And the term disciple means learner.
Right.
We are learners.
Right.
We come to learn.
Amen.
And that means wherever you are, you start where you are and you begin to learn from Christ.
Yes.
And so spiritual discipline is the act of applying discipleship, things that you learn, Amen. Which is that internal word of truth,
Amen.
To apply it to your life.
Right.
And so I had to put the word prayerful in here, the prayerful application
mm-hmm.
of the internal encouragement of the word of truth.
Yeah.
And so I want to help you understand that today. I'll try to unpack that. I think it's going to really bless you because it blessed me
Always
in my study. So last week we talked about and we began that series on spiritual growth, which is going to be the third segment.
All right.
Spiritual and confidence, spiritual discipline equals spiritual growth.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, and we'll see that on next Sunday, Lord willing.
Yes.
Talking about how you grow. And this is important because you know what? It's one thing to get all the information. Have you ever done that? You researched the topic, you got all the information,
mm-hmm.
you sat it there. You may even have read it and took it in, but now how do I get that now and put it in action?
All right.
How do I make that thing work? It could be anything. I mean, you might research how you build a park bench or
mm-hmm.
whatever. You go and you get YouTube and you watch it and you get books on carpentry, how you cut and measure and
mm-hmm.
all that. You set the books up there, but now how do I actually get the wood and bring it in and cut it right and measure it right and put it together so when I get through it looks like a park bench?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we're getting the components of this spiritual thing here together. Today, and we're going to try to unpack how you can apply it, how you can actually put this to work in your life. So just before we do that, I'm going to go ahead and let's have an opening word of prayer, and I will kind of just take the passages today. We won't do a formal reading as we normally do, and I'll work us through it so and see how we come out on the end. Let us pray. Lord God, we bless you, we praise
yes.
you, we thank you for
thank
the encouragement
you.
Of your word, Father. You originally
yes.
told us that simple message about your son,
mm-hmm.
and we understood it, Lord, by your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And you caused us to accept that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and you caused us to desire to be his disciple. And so we came into the fellowship, Lord, and so today we come as disciples of Christ, knowing that we are not perfect on our own, but by his blood we have been declared by you
yes.
to be perfect, without a flaw, without a spot, without a blemish. That you have chosen by your word to see us like you see your son, Jesus Christ,
my Lord.
If we put our trust in him. And you even showed us how he successfully defeated the penalty for sin, which is death, and got up out of the grave in order that we might have the promise of everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Father, we're fascinated by that.
Yes, we
But are. We know you left us here on earth so that we could be a witness to these things that you have done in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Lord, today we're asking for a special blessing on each person that's under the sound of my voice and every connected family,
bless us, Lord.
Every connected friendship, every connected relationship on the earthly plane, Lord, that we would you would touch others through us.
Mm-hmm.
And also at the same time, God, bring us to a closer walk with thee.
Yeah.
Oh God, we love you today, Father, the best we know how.
Yes, we do.
We kind of feel short when we say that because we know you love us more and you loved us first.
Yeah.
But Father, we pray you strengthen us today. Take our minds to another place and help us to pray our way through this discipleship that you have blessed us to receive
yeah.
in order that our lives might reflect that glory that you had in your son. Oh Lord, and that we might be like him a little bit more every time as we continue to practice these things. Bless this message as it goes out, that it will produce in your children fruit 100-fold. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. And we ask it in Jesus' righteous name.
Jesus.
And all the saints said together,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So spiritual discipline.
Spiritual discipline.
Very, very powerful topic. And I want you to understand today, these are some things you can try. You can try it right here while you're still in the sanctuary, but certainly through this week as you go out into the world.
All right.
Now, I picked a few verses. I wanted to go back to the Old Testament. We have a Psalm of David,
mm-hmm.
which is Psalm number 61.
Mm-hmm.
And David says, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I."
Yes.
"For thou hast been a shelter for me
yes.
and a strong tower
yes.
from the enemy."
Yes.
See that?
Yes.
He said, "You've been a way I can escape and get away from the enemy."
Yes.
"I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Now this is a deep song written by King David. Think about that. He was the king. He had political power over many people. He could say something and the whole kingdom would move at his command.
That's right.
See that? And yet he says, my strength is from you, oh God, because I realize you are the one who lifted me up. He says, hear my cry, oh God, attend unto my prayer. He knows that prayer is important. It's critical in our lives. I'm sure this is a place where most of us fall short. You might be somebody who prays all through the day, but sometimes I pray a lot myself. But you know, I think we fall short here, because if we could just be connected like David, where we know that all through our lives we have to talk to God about everything that we're doing, you know, we would change a lot of how we do stuff.
All right.
You know, it would make us strong in areas where we're now currently weak.
Amen.
And notice what David said. He says that the attendance of my prayer got from the end of the earth. That means anywhere I am. Doesn't make any difference where I'm at. I will cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, that's when you get a situation in your life that you feel it could take me out, or this is something I can't handle.
All right.
I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yes.
And maybe y'all don't have that kind of thing come in your life, where you get something that comes into your life and all of a sudden you go, oh boy, this is over my head. I don't even know what to do. I don't know where to start. And you feel like you just don't have it together. And your heart is out of my ballpark. It's all the way completely. It went over the fence. And I don't see it anymore. You know, your heart is overwhelmed. You're filled up with some situation that you have no idea how is it going to turn out. So David says, when my heart is overwhelmed, what do? I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. See, there is a place of refuge for the people of God. You can go run to the rock, not hide in the rock, but to the rock, which is God, that rock of ages. You
see,
you can run to the rock, he says, that is higher than I. You're above me. See,
that's right.
And we have a song on this too, which I'm not going to introduce right now, but we'll probably get into singing it. It was based on these first three verses in this psalm. I'll share that with you all down the line. Amen. But I love this song, and it was for this reason, because he says, for thou hast been a shelter for me. You know, and a strong tower. See that? From my enemy. The enemy is trying to get me, but you've been a shelter. You kept him from overtaking me. You kept him from having his way. The enemy wanted to roll over you like a bulldozer and sweep you on out the way. You know, but no, God is my shelter. He is my refuge. In him will I trust. Kind of like Psalm 91 is another good one. But what I want you to see here is that God has blessed us to understand some things here. That prayer is a very, very vital thing. And we're going to have to practice the discipline of prayer. If we want to have that tight relationship, it's necessary to talk it over with God. You know, and sometimes we get frustrated. We talk to God a little while and don't look like he's moving quick enough for us. But we need to be anchored in prayer. See, and I believe that's what's going to make the difference. That's the discipline that's going to make a change in your life. The psalmist says, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. Then he goes on to say, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
Amen.
Then he gives a reason why, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower. See that? You've helped me before. I look back before. Have you had situations like the one you're thinking about now in times past? And you know what? Just because we're here lets me know it didn't overtake us.
That's right.
It didn't do what it could have done, that situation we were dealing with, because we're here today. And God has allowed you to roll on. Why? Because he was a shelter for you. And he was a strong tower. The enemy may have thought he was going to take you out, but it didn't work, and you're still here. And so he just looks at his past track record and said, based on that, I'm going to call upon the Lord. I'm going to cry out to God. I'm going to, no matter where I'm at on earth, he says, or from the ends of the earth, when it's something bigger than me, it's out of my wheelhouse, if you will, I'm going to call upon God.
Yes,
and
amen.
Give it to him. Why? Because he has shown in the past that he is able to handle it. And see, able is not hard for us to understand. Can God handle it? Is he able? Sure. He's God. But how about willing? I'm willing to deal with you in your situation.
All right.
I'm willing to help you. You know, it's one thing. We could say Anheuser-Busch is able, or some of these folks, because they got what they need. Yeah, but are they willing to help you?
Yeah.
Are they willing to do something for you? Some of these big corporations, they have the wherewithal to do it, but will they do it? Are they willing? The answer, some of them will say, no, get back. I'm not going to deal with you. Like we looked at that Pink Floyd song. He said, get back, Jack, and keep your hand off my stack. You know, I don't have nothing for you. I'm going to kick you to the curb, you know. But the fact with God is he's not like that. I got the big stack and I'm willing to share it with you. I can fix you up, hook you up, and give you what you need.
Yes.
So God has chosen to start. This is how this works now. And I thought this would be a good way to break it down here. And we're going to look at this just briefly here. God has chosen to start a process in every one of us whom he saves through a message known as the gospel. That's how we begin in God.
Amen.
Which is the good news about the Father's love for mankind, who by grace made provision of his Son, Jesus Christ, to be crucified, buried, and risen from the dead. Which is proof that the penalty for sin, which is death, has successfully been satisfied.
Yes.
Why? Because Jesus took death upon him, and he died and was laid in the grave. When he got out of the grave, he defeated death.
Oh, yes, he did.
And he satisfied God all at one time. God was satisfied. That's the only thing that ever satisfied God. And Christ, by himself, applied by faith, this knowledge of this message applied by faith, each one of us hearing the message and responding to it by faith, that's how we got saved.
That's right.
And you know what? God is the one who gave you the faith.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
The Bible says faith comes by hearing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And hearing by the word of God. So how important is it for you and me to preach the gospel?
That's right.
Just tell people what God has done.
Right. Yes.
See, and it's that simple message. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth.
Yes.
See, we like to make it some complicated thing, or oh, we're going to take you to tarry for the Holy Ghost over here, or some other work righteousness thing. But God says the power is in the message.
Yes. That's right. Amen.
And it's a free gift that he gives to whosoever believes in the name of the Son of God.
Amen.
It's not about any works you do.
No.
Not about any righteousness you own on your own.
Yes.
It's about you trusting my Son. And when you do that, I'm going to dwell in you.
Right.
I'm taking up residence in you. The Holy Spirit moves in you.
Yes.
And now I'm living in you because you have been, your account has been settled with God.
Yeah.
He did it by the message. And then, you know what? Who gets the credit when it's God who did it?
God
gets the credit. I have nothing to boast about. That's what
nothing.
Paul said.
Nothing.
For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's Ephesians 2:8-9.
Mm-hmm.
So we have nothing to boast about. God has done everything necessary. And so he gets all the glory for anything that happens in your life.
Oh, yes,
you know, we should be careful to give him the glory. We shouldn't be like some of the people today. They want to take the glory to themselves. But it is God, the Bible says, who is at work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians says that.
Yes.
So knowing that spiritual confidence is the result of the engrafted word. Remember we talked about that in James. God begins to put his word in you.
Yes.
To give you a new way to see a situation. And to teach you things about yourself that you didn't know. To teach you things about others that you didn't know. And he's teaching you things about himself that you didn't know. He's teaching you things about his Son that you didn't know.
Yes.
He's teaching you things about his Spirit that you didn't know. He's constantly teaching you things about angels that you didn't know.
Yes.
And people throw stuff around like, you know, they have doctrines about angels today that are not biblical. And so what that does, once you know what the Bible says, certain things, the Holy Spirit who is in you will reject that thing, whatever it is.
Yes, it will.
When you hear something. So the Holy Spirit is always active in your life.
Amen.
And so now how do we get ourselves in tune with the Holy Spirit? Well, I want you to see an example here, and that's why I put this one here from the Thessalonian epistle. We'll talk a little more about the psalmist there. But let's look at 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. It says, but we were gentle among you. This is the Apostle Paul writing the Thessalonians. Even as a nurse cherisheth her children.
Yes.
In other words, we fed you tenderly like a little baby the information of the gospel. We made sure you understood. Just like a nursing mother would take a little baby in her arms and she knows he knows nothing, but she has to direct the whole process of feeding that child.
Yes.
The child knows he wants to eat, but the mother knows how he must eat.
Yes.
See, and where to place the baby and all of that in order for him to receive the feeding and the nutrition that he needs. He doesn't know anything about that.
That's right.
You know? And so Paul says, we were gentle among you even as a nurse. Cherisheth her children. Some translations may even say a mother. Mm-hmm. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not only the gospel of God only, he says not only the gospel of God, but also our own souls, because ye were dear to us. See, every believer who comes to an understanding that Christ loves you, God loves you, gave his son, and his son was crucified for you to settle your account, to make your relationship with God perfect.
Yes.
We want to develop you and nurture you along in the things of God.
Amen.
We don't want you to just come to church and say, okay, I'm saved. Now you walk out the door with no information. You know, you need to come and be fed.
Study.
Yeah. Have your spirit fed. Study the word so that you have some spiritual input in your life.
Yeah.
So God can teach you how to control things in your life that you have not been able to control.
Amen.
So he can teach you how to grow spiritually.
Yes.
So that you can have confidence in a time of trouble rather than falling apart and coming undone.
Yes.
See, and all of this is what you learn when you sit under the word and you start to hear the truth. God is building some systems in you.
Yes, he is.
To make you strong in the next time around.
Amen.
So notice what Paul goes on to say in verse number 9. He says, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God.
Yes.
They came in, they went and got jobs, they set up, they provided for whatever they needed, and they set up camp in Thessalonica and began to disciple people with the gospel of Christ. They began to bring in new converts, and the church was being built, and they did whatever it took. Whatever it takes, we're going to do it. That's the attitude you and I need to have. Now, you know what? The reason you can do that is because when you set forth to share the gospel, God is with you.
Amen.
The gospel being spread to the world, that was his idea, not ours.
That's right.
See? So if God told you to do it and you endeavor to do it, he's going to make everything fall in place for you to get it done.
Yes.
See? And so I believe that's where you and I need to pray. We need to pray and say, God, look, this is our plan. This is what we're planning to do. We're doing what you said. We're trying to do it. And God already knows if you're doing what he said.
Amen.
And if you do, you know what? You won't lack anything.
That's right.
Everything you need will be given to you.
Yes.
Because, and I don't say it, God said it.
That's right.
Because he told you to go, and he said, lo, what? I am with you. Always, even to the end of the world. So as long as you're going, I'm with you.
Yes.
And whatever it is that you propose to do, it shall be done.
Yes.
You know, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open. Jesus said, for whoever asks receives. To him who seeks, he finds. And him that knocks, it is open. So God says, the way is open. Now you and I need to believe that.
Yes, we do.
And so spiritual discipline is when you see stuff not going the way that you think it should, like if some obstacle gets in the way, you don't fall apart.
All right.
What do? You cry out unto God.
Yeah.
That's what the psalmist did, right? When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. See, it might be a rock, a stumbling block to me, but to God, he's so high, he can lift you up above your situation.
Yes, he will.
Amen. He will do it because he promised that he'd do it.
Yes, he will.
See that? And so he goes on to say here, looking at this Thessalonian letter, verse number 10, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily, in other words, in a holy manner, and justly and unblameably, we behaved ourselves among you that believe. So they went there demonstrating the gospel, not just preaching it. You know, I can't go preaching the gospel, then you find me hanging out doing stuff I have no business doing. You know, my life should display the fact that I am a person of God.
Amen.
That I try to walk in the precepts of God.
Yes.
I try to maintain a holy lifestyle.
Amen.
You know, and so those are the kind of things you want to be a witness, as he said. He says, ye are witnesses, and God also. He says, you saw how we lived, and God saw how we lived among you, making ourselves examples to you. Now notice this, he says in verse number 11, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children. So you got the image of a mother breastfeeding in the first chapter and a father nurturing and disciplining you along the way in the next part of the same chapter here. See what I'm saying? He said we did just like a father would his children. Gave you a little discipline if you needed. We kept feeding you the word. We were trying to get you established in God. And for this cause, he you see it. Now notice that you would walk worthy of God who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. So that's what we're about. We want to teach people to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you have been called. And for this cause we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it as it is, the word, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. See? And which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The word of God is what does the work. That's what we talked about last week.
That's right.
That's where we have the spiritual discipline, and the spiritual encouragement comes from the word that you know.
Amen.
Because you can say when trouble comes, well, you know, God said, I'll be with you always.
Yes.
So I'm not alone in this thing I'm going through.
Never.
God is with me.
Yes, he is.
Not only that, but he said he will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He said, if I ask, I shall receive. If I seek, I shall find. If I knock, it shall be opened.
Yes.
So you can begin to apply that. What do you mean? Go in prayer, Lord God, and just say those same things that he already told you.
Right.
And you know what? When you get done, you should get a release. You should feel peace.
Oh,
because
yes.
God is going to answer that prayer. This is
yes,
a prayer that God will answer.
Yes.
And so this is a spiritual discipline that you and I should practice.
That's right.
Okay, knowing that spiritual confidence is the result of the engrafted word, I want to say again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the vehicle of faith that has come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God given to you by God from an internal, he's given you an internal spiritual framework upon which to build your internal prayer, meditation, patience, fellowship, fasting, confession, intercessions, things of that sort. These are the kind of things God is teaching you about. We could take a whole lesson on each one of these. Today I'm highlighting for you prayer. Always pray. Jesus said, man ought to always pray.
Always.
You know what? If you start to pray more, you'll complain less.
Yes.
Yes,
a lot of times we have a tendency, something goes bad,
yes,
and we start to complain right away. You know what you should start is the prayer.
Yeah.
Start the prayer.
Yeah.
You know, you can even thank God that I'm going through this trouble, Lord, and I thank you that you're going to fix it. And I thank you everything is going to be fine. I thank you that everything I need to take care of this is going to be supplied.
Yes.
And I thank you and bless you that it didn't take me out. And then I thank you and bless you that you got so many things you can just go on and on when trouble comes. You don't have to fall apart. You know what? If we were to practice that, people would go, boy, that's strange. You know, that they ain't falling apart. And when they see you holding it together because you know there is an answer and God is going to supply it,
that's right.
And that they'll say, well, what is it about you?
Then you
say, let me tell you one day, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for you. Got him out of the grave with all power in his hand. And you teach them the gospel and move along. Meditation, instead of filling your mind with junk all day. You know what? The world has junk, the stuff down in your head all day. You know, used to be you would never see anything to distract you hardly because it was illegal, some of the stuff today, back in the day when I was a kid.
Yes.
You know, and now we have soft porn on billboards all around, folks in underwear and half-dressed women and all kinds of stuff. You know, so it's very hard to keep your mind where it should be.
That's right. Amen.
You know, used to be, boy, they would go, that's pornographic. Take that down. They wouldn't even let you put it up. You would never get somebody up on a billboard in underwear.
Right.
That's true.
And now you see anything. You might see anything anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention on the internet, on the TV, on, you know, anywhere you look, you're subject to see something scandalous that'll make it tough for you to be the kind of person God wants you to be.
Yes.
And so you need to learn to meditate.
That's it.
My wife and I have been talking about this in this past week. And she already had started on it, and we just happened to realize we were both thinking the same thing all week. That meditation is important. Pick some time in your life. Shut the radio off.
Yes.
Shut off the TV. Close the world out.
Yes.
Clear your mind. Think about God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the peace and the comfort that he gives. Think about the blessing that he gives.
Yeah.
Think about where he wants you to go next, what he wants you to do.
Yeah.
Invest some of your time meditating on what God said to you in prayer and what you said to him. Think about that. Meditation is very important. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree. See that planted by the rivers of water to bring it forth its fruit in its season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God says you're going to prosper if you begin to meditate in my word.
Yes.
See, and I know that's a hard message today because we got Facebook popping up every 5 minutes and we're trying to answer everybody on Twitter and our mind is completely invested. invested in the world.
Yep.
You know, or you're at work and you have demanding stuff. Now, I realize when you're at work, you may have to think about what you're doing. Especially if you work somewhere like I do, where you can get blown away in about 2 seconds if you do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Working on high voltage or something.
Yes.
You know, but
yes.
Even when I'm there, I'm thinking, Lord God, don't let this stuff blow up on me. Really, I'm in prayer, I tell you. I'll be thinking about it. But that stuff could blow. It's mechanical. You don't know if it's going to work right or not when you throw the big switch. So I'll be praying. I pray for the guys up there that are closer to it than me. And I'm always in prayer because this stuff, I've seen it blow. And when it blows, it's something else. You know, it'll make you call on Jesus if you didn't know him. Lord God, I need you right now. And then some of these high voltages start coming loose on you. You know, and so maybe you don't work in a dangerous job like that, but I mean, it's dangerous just being in the world now, right? So we want to practice meditation. How about patience? Patience means I see a situation and I want to react right now and just move into it, but patience says, no, wait. Think through it. Don't just react quickly. Don't do that first thing that you think. See, that's why James said, be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. That's the application of patience.
Yes.
Don't let what somebody say trip your switch and now you blow immediately.
Yes.
You know, hold back, suppress your tongue because the tongue might still be in the flesh.
Right.
You know, and if it is, hold it back.
Yes.
And have patience. Meditate
Amen.
On it for a while.
Amen.
And then even fellowship is a very important thing. This is a spiritual discipline. Get together with other people who are like-minded.
Yes.
Spend time together with each other. Break
Amen.
Bread and talk about your life and things going on in your life. Fasting. Sometimes you have to, and I don't think fasting really has any spiritual significance, I'd like to say, other than that it teaches you to stop your flesh, to say no to your flesh.
Yeah.
Your flesh is demanding on you all the time. I want this,
yes.
I want that, give me this,
yes.
give me that. And you want to say, no, flesh, I'm in charge here.
Yes.
The Spirit of the Lord is in charge here.
Amen.
You will do it when I say you can do it.
Amen.
And you stop yourself and it'll help you with other fleshly sins that you might be dealing with.
Yes,
if you get to where you can say no, just even to not eating food.
Yes.
And that's something you need.
Amen.
See, but you can make it a few days. If you're anything like me, I could probably go a week without eating all month. Or who knows? You know, I got a little extra fuel already on board with me, you see. But I mean, practice that. This is a spiritual discipline that you can practice. Pick a day or a time and say, nope, not today.
Yeah.
And set it aside and watch and see, won't there be a spiritual benefit?
Oh, yes, it will.
Okay, even confession, we have to practice that. In other words,
yes,
the word confession in its technical sense means saying the same thing God
yes.
says. So if God says something is a sin, this is a big problem in the world now, because people in the world want to say all kinds of aberrant stuff is okay, and God says it's not. So you disagree with God. You don't confess that what God said is true.
All right.
See, because you want to say this here is true, and God says no, it's not true.
Yes.
See, so you and I want to say what God says.
Amen.
And somebody want to know, why do you feel that way about that subject, Mr. Fisher? And I'll say, because Genesis says this. And Exodus says this.
Yes.
And the book of Revelation says that. That's what I think. It's not what I think. It's what God thinks.
That's it.
Put it on him.
Yeah, Pastor.
And what? They're going to persecute you, though, because you're the messenger. You will be the one getting the persecution. But tell them, I'm sorry, man, but I believe the truth. The word of God is true.
Yeah.
Or sir, or whoever you're talking to. And this is what the Lord says, and this is what I believe. This is what I teach.
Yes.
See? And leave it at that.
That's it.
And God says, I'll fight your battles for you if you have a battle over it.
Amen.
And so confession is important. And then this is very important. Here, intercession.
Intercession.
You know what? I could have an issue with one of you. And if I do, what do? Criticize you, talk about you? Or do I say, Lord, help Sister Fisher?
Yes.
Or whoever it is, help Brother Douglas, Lord
yes.
God.
Yes.
He and I disagree on this topic. And I want you, Lord, to just help him to see it your way.
Yes.
Or bring things into his life. That's intercession. I'm asking God to do something.
Amen.
For the person rather than any other thing. So intercession, stuff that's out of your control.
Yes.
You know, I think about things even like with my kids. Okay, I would like my kids to be a certain way, and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked with them about it, and we sometimes don't get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I do then? I take it to God. Intercession. Lord God, and I bring that situation to the Most High.
Yes.
And I know he wants the same thing I do because I'm in confession and agreement with him that this is the best thing for them. And I pray, God, that you move things in their life and bring it into a situation where they do your will, because I want them to do your will. Kind of like Job, you see him praying for his children. He said, because maybe they curse God in their heart. I better intercede.
Yes.
And he stepped in to intercede on their behalf because he wanted to have an influence from on high on something that was out of his control.
Amen.
See that? Amen. They're not in my house, they're in their own house. But God, you look over them. You protect them. You bless them. You
yes.
you be there for them. Supply
yes.
for them, oh God.
Yes.
Nurture their mind. Turn them around.
Yes.
And so intercession. Now, we could probably go on for a lot of time, but I think you have enough to work on here. We got prayer, meditation, patience, fellowship, fasting, confession, intercession, etc. And every Christian discipline should be known, but applied at the time of need. Apply these when you need them.
Yes.
See? And there will be times this week, I guarantee you, when you leave the sanctuary,
yes.
you're going to get a chance to be tested on
yes.
these things.
Oh, yes.
And the discipline that you have is, how do I respond to it? Do I do like I've been doing?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody call me out my name? Do I just turn right back around and find something 10 times more aggressive to cut them down so they're so low they can sit on a cigarette paper and swing their legs? Or do I say, Lord God, and I go into prayer, and I practice meditation, I practice patience, I'm going to back off.
And so
you have a choice. You need to choose what you want to do. That's why Joshua said, choose this day whom you will serve.
Yes.
You know, and that's really what it's about. It's about me surrendering my will to God's will.
That's it. Amen.
God says, do it this way. Fisher said, do it your way.
Right.
See, so who's going to be right in this? Who's going to win the battle, the showdown?
God.
You know what? If you win, you lose.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? That's why Jesus said, he who tries to save his life shall lose it. But he who will lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it.
That's right.
See, so if you win, you lose. But if you lose, give up and submit yourself to God, then you will be the winner. You'll be the victor when it's all done. So submit yourself to God and resist the devil, the Bible says, and he will flee from you.
Amen.
You want to know how to make the devil go? Submit yourself to God.
That's it.
And then resist the devil. And he'll get off your track.
Yes, he will.
Because you did what God said. I submitted myself to God.
Uh-huh.
See, people want to tell you, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. No. Submit yourself to God and resist the devil.
Yes.
And he will flee from you.
Amen.
See, so once you get in God's court, the devil got to go. What is he going to do?
He's got to go. Amen.
How can he can't overcome? You on the rock that's higher than I. See what I'm saying? The devil's got to go. And so, but you know what? As long as you stay in neutral ground, the devil is greater in power and might.
Oh, yes.
He'll kick you around like a snowball or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, when you submit yourself to God and resist the devil, he shall flee from you. So we want to start to practice what we teach and what we learn and the things we believe.
Yes.
So the serious development of our personal prayer lives must become the priority of our lives in order for us to be able to routinely see, number one, increased spiritual confidence.
Yes.
Because the more you practice what God says, that you know that he said,
mm-hmm.
your confidence is going to go up even more.
Yes, it will.
Because now you know God does exactly what he says.
Mm-hmm.
Greater spiritual victories over fleshly desires. That'll
yes.
be something that happens.
Yes.
You'll have increased growth in the spiritual disciplines rather than in the works of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes we try to do stuff, but we do it in the flesh.
Yeah.
So it doesn't come out right. No, it's got to be in the spirit. See? And you know what? The flesh would like to take credit and all that kind of thing, but I can't give any credit to my flesh. You know, I have to say, no, all the good stuff that happened to me, God did it.
Yes,
God did it. That's right.
So increased, the even higher spiritual confidence comes from all of this. You have more confidence to trust God at a deeper level in your life. Okay? More desire to consume even more spiritual content.
Mm-hmm.
You know how much you need it. When you see how well it worked for you and how it's blessing you, you'll want even more. You'll want to come and sit and hear the word more so you can be more closely connected.
Amen.
And not only that, but also increased ability to comfort others in and outside the church.
Yeah.
You know, you become a more of a counselor, a good friend to somebody else, even in or out of the church. Doesn't make any difference.
Amen.
And even within our own families, in your own family, you'll be a go-to person. Let me go see Sister Adams, because she's always down to earth and she calms me down when I get out of whack or whoever, you know, and that's kind of how it works.
Yeah.
And so the length of this list will be as long as your time spent practicing these things.
Wow.
See?
Wow.
And the list can go on and on and on, how God can make you more and more suitable if you apply spiritual discipline. Amen?
Amen.
So we want to get you on the right road. It was interesting to me that to think about the linguistic part of it. God sent a message into the world by which people can be saved.
Yes.
And that message is the gospel, the good news. It's very simple. He didn't want it to be complicated. He wants people like Jason back there to be able to hear that God loves you just like you are.
Yes.
And he gave his son Jesus for you. He died for you. And so that you can be completely free from sin.
Yeah.
Wow, okay, I can accept that. A little kid can hear that and he can get with that. He can believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. And that's why he's the most famous person on earth.
Yes, he is.
You know? And I say that because the people hate that. I tell you what, you know, you say that, you can get a whole room full of folks mad. What do you mean he's the most famous person on the earth?
Mm-hmm.
See, your calendar tells you he's been around since 2015.
Right.
What did you think that meant? Well, that's just what you think. Oh, that's the way the world is. I'm sorry.
Right. Yes.
If you don't believe it, you should check it out. And I tell people that. Check it out. Find out, is this is real? I mean, I don't have to lie.
Yes.
It's real. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's on your calendar just like it is on mine.
Amen.
How did that get like that? What does that mean? And should you just pass that off and think nothing of it? Or should you examine why God did that?
Mm-hmm.
You think a bunch of Christians got together and made that so? Mm-hmm. You know? And they're trying to change it. They like to take it out. I would imagine if we keep going on, somebody's going to say, oh, I hate that. Let's stop that. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it.
Yeah.
I see people doing it slowly. What you're going to see, and you can tell if a person is against Christ, you'll look and see the date they put down, and they'll say stuff like, oh, the pyramids, this was 1522 BCE. BCE, oh, before the Common Era. They want to take Jesus out of it.
Yes.
Or this happened in 1911 AD. They'll say CE.
Right.
What they put, that's the Common Era. They want to make it CE and BCE to get Jesus out of it. So when you see that, that's a red flag. I just want you to know. That means these people don't trust Christ. They don't want to give him the glory of time being wrapped around him like it is. See? So when you see that, that's what's happening.
Yes.
I would never put that because it's not right. Never been that way in my lifetime. You know, never been that way all the way back since they started the AD and BC system. BC before Christ and AD Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. Most people in our culture think AD means after death,
right,
which is a strange thing to me. But I mean, I hear it all the time because I'm always talking about this. This is a subject I talk about a lot. And I said, even if it is after death, the death of who? It's going to still bring you to Jesus.
Right.
Either way you go. See what I'm saying? Although it doesn't mean that. And I tell them, look it up. Look in your dictionary. And you see it right at the very beginning of it. A.D. A period, D period is Anno Domini.
Yep.
From the Latin Anno, which is annual or year. Domini, our Lord, the year of our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 2015 years since the year of our Lord, since the year he was born.
Yes.
See? And so the world is configured around Jesus.
Right.
Been in many cemeteries. Look on those tombstones. There's a dash in between, as they say, and there's a year. Most of the ones I've seen have been A.D.
Mm-hmm.
Buildings on the cornerstone, A.D. They used to have this all down in the court buildings downtown. They like to chisel that out of there and get it off now. Oh, that's a religious statement. But I would rather that you believe it and get saved. Why don't you see why is it up there? Why don't you know that God loves you just like you are and he wants you to be saved? He gave his son for you, made him famous in the world.
Yes.
All the way around the globe so that you can be saved. He's not fighting against you. You're fighting against him.
That's right.
But he loves you and he'll take you just like you are. There's nothing you can do to make yourself right.
Nothing.
But he has done everything to give you righteousness, the perfect righteousness that he wants you to have. Amen. So if you're here today and you'd like to be a member of St. Timothy, give you an opportunity to do that right now. And especially if you're not saved. If a person is not saved, you may come at this time. And even if you are saved, you may come at this time, have a seat here in the front, and we will accept you into the family.
Yes.
Amen. Because we open our doors, the Lord said, go into all the world and teach.
Mm-hmm.
And so we endeavor to teach, and that's what we intend to do. We want to do this on a grander and grander scale. That's why we started with interior cleanup. We want to clean up the inside and get it all fixed, and then we'll move to the outside. So our outward appearance is going to look nice. We didn't want the outside to look good and the inside not. You come in and be discouraged. So we thought we'd fix the inside up and then move to the outside. And God does the same thing. If you need to be saved, he moves on the inside.
Yeah.
And he starts to clean up the inside first. And then it'll go on the outside. You'll be happy about who you are. And the way you look will be much better than it ever has been. I think I look a lot better since I've been saved. I mean, it's because you're not going around with a scowl on your face.
Yes.
You know?
Amen. Amen.
You have a smile from time to time. I know sometimes you get down and out, you don't want to smile about everything. Mm-hmm. But usually when I catch myself like that, I just think myself happy. I just I've learned to let stuff go quick.
Amen.
I don't want to be all mad and walking around because it's not productive.
Amen.
God doesn't want you to be like that. And so that's the flesh rising up whenever that happens.
Yes, it is.
You know?
Yes,
so you identify that and quickly resolve it. Move along.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have time to waste. Life is too short. I would rather bless people right now,
mm-hmm.
you know, and enjoy them right now. Because, you know, I would miss you if you were gone. You'd probably miss me if I was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to enjoy you right now. Love mm-hmm. you just like you are. God does. He accepts you. So let us do that. That's a good thing to do. And practice these things this week. Challenge yourself. That's what I want to say as we conclude. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. But I want to challenge you because you're going to have every opportunity. I just know it already. I know I am too. Every time I have a message like this, I get tested. You know. So
yep.
when you get tested, and even if you fail, there's a thing. Even with that, you learn how when you fail, okay, start over. Go back, ask God to forgive you. Try it again and keep on trying until you get it.
Amen.
And you'll find yourself growing spiritually, and I hope that will be a blessing to you. Amen. We have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. So we thank God for, you know, I would like just in the last minute just to give an opportunity to see, are there any questions, comments, or anything from anyone pertaining to the lesson? Anything you want to say, have clarified, or you missed, or anything of that sort? Anything at all from anyone? Brother Douglas.
Yeah, I'd just like to thank you for the lesson that you have blessed us with. And because I know it has touched my heart in so many ways. But it was a little incident. Well, it was an incident. But of course, y'all know about the new position that I have on my job and everything. And it just seemed like once, you know, God elevates you, you know, that's when you really going to be picked out to be picked on.
Mm.
But just like you was talking about your lesson, you have to put it to practice the very thing that you speak out of your mouth. And, you know, this one individual that just despised. I mean, can you feel when a person just looking at you and just don't want you to be there? And it's just something about their presence that you can just feel. And I found out that this individual supposed to have an operation, and God just placed it on my heart to ask this individual if I can pray for him, you know. And like you said, if it was the old man, I'd be like, maybe to put you out so you won't have to come back here no more, and I'll have to be dealing with you. But that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to be able to show them more love than they show hate.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've always say this, never allow someone to dictate how your day should go by how they act. But your day should go by who you believe in and trust in. So then you can be on that battlefield, in a sense, to be able to minister to that individual. You know, and Larry was saying this today, all day today. You have to do it in spirit, because if you go any other way, it won't get done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it almost seemed like a lost cause. But after I said what I said, I was, you know, kind of apprehensive, because I was like, well, I want to know what this individual is going to do. Okay, yeah. They say, yeah, pray for him, you know. And so that just goes to show that sometimes it can be a front, and sometimes you don't know what an individual actually be going through. But if God touch your heart to do something, even to those who despise you or those that don't care anything about you, we have to realize it's not about us. Once we get ourselves out the way, and then we can do the work of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Brother Perry.
I would just like to say I appreciate the prayers that you prayed for me.
Mm-hmm.
And continue to pray for me. I thank God for you and your prayers.
Amen.
And I'm being delivered.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Thank y'all for your prayers.
You actually are looking very strong there. We're happy to see you coming around. Amen.
Yeah. Yes,
amen. Prayer is an awesome thing. It really is the greatest privilege you have.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Yes, it is. Amen. Talk to God. Sister Kelsey.
Just on the subject of intercessory prayer, I would like the church to pray for my cousin.
All right. Amen. Amen.
His name is Byron, and just trying to minister to him in the place where he's been having for the last 6 months in his life. And just please continue to pray for him and his parents and his children. And pray for me because I missed a phone call from him. Because he has been bothering me. Because I know that he was arrested and then I wasn't able to talk to him. So, and I just missed it because I'm at work and I feel like I'm always busy and I have to find that balance. Be able to talk to him and connect with my family.
All right. Amen. 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 We thank God for that. And we understand. See, these are the kind of things. I'm saying we all have things in our life. And God is concerned about all those things, whatever they are. And when it's somebody of control, guess what?
Yeah.
Not out of his.
That's right.
He can do it. He can do stuff we can't even imagine. I'm going to ask right now, just before we dismiss, let's have a quick word of prayer.
Yes.
Lord God, we praise you and we bless you and we lift you up. And we just thank you, Father, for the privilege of prayer. And we want to lift up Byron right now.
Right now, God,
and his family, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you move in a powerful way. That you demonstrate every good thing that you know, God, that you can bless with, Lord, that you know needs to be done. And Father, bless the family and those who are here, Sister Kelsey, with peace, oh God. Take away any anxiety and don't let that become any device against her, Father. And Father, we ask you strengthen her, oh God. Strengthen her prayer life, strengthen her family life, oh God, and help her to organize everything that she is dealing with, Father, because you've given her many, many gifts and you have blessed her, and we thank you for everyone, Father. And so we ask you, God, by the power of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you will help all of us in this room organize our lives, God, and get the way we need to be in order to be the best witnesses for Christ. But as we have our heads bowed together, Father, look over Byron in that situation, Father, and let there be something glorious to your name that comes out of it. And we'll be careful to announce and give that testimony and give you all the honor and the praise. And we know you are able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. And so, Lord God, bless all the saints who are here today. Thank you again for what you did for Sister Karen and for Brother Perry and for all the people, Lord, that you have just been blessing, oh God, with a healing hand, Lord. And we ask that you let the healing continue, Father. Sometimes we have internal the healing that needs to be done, Lord. And we ask you heal us on the inside too, oh God. Help us, oh Lord, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. Help us to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Bless us, oh God, and for all of the visitors who are here today. We thank you for every one of them, God. We ask that you be a blessing in their lives, Lord. Let them remember this day, oh God. And teach us all to practice the spiritual disciplines that you have talked to us about today, Father, through your word. We'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Now, as we go down from this place, oh God, and travel to our various destinations, let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, majesty, dominion, and power. Now and forevermore, and all the saints say it together.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Glory, hallelujah. Amen.